All right. Well, I'm stoked to be here with Scott Fielder, who teaches the Beer Scholar Advanced Cicerone Coaching Program, and our first graduate, I guess you would say, Jesus Martir. Advanced Cicerone Jesus Martir. Dude, congratulations.
Thank you so much. And I mean, I really mean it. Like, thank you so much for all the help you guys did. I mean, it's not an easy exam, and getting to exam day like a little bit calmer really helps.
Awesome, man. So we just hung out a bunch for like 6 months, a little more than 6 months. And hopefully it was super helpful. I want to hear, you know, I want to hear about, you know, why you decided to go for it and how it's been helping you to do all this education and, you know, what your vision is for where you're going.
Well, okay. Yeah. So I've been in the industry, since 2017. So a couple of years now. I'm a mechanical engineer, well, electromechanical engineer. So what is beer if it's not just, applied engineering, right? So I really like that about it. I've been a home brewer since 2016, always just trying to be objective about beer. And so the first thing that came to mind was studying for the Beer Judge Certification Program, the BACP, just getting to know all the technical stuff and things like that. And well, I'm a beer, cider, and meat judge now. So
nice.
That's good. And
very cool.
And I basically just came to the program basically by proxies, because like a lot of professionals in the industry are affiliated basically to the Cicerone certification program. And I just did the certified brew server, and I was like, okay, maybe it's just service, maybe it's not for me, we'll see. Then so I'm based in Tijuana, Mexico, so I can cross the border to San Diego, and it seems like they have a lot of tasting exams, at least once a year for certified level. So mm-hmm. One time I was just checking my calendar. I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. I'll do tasting. And if it goes well, I'll maybe try the written exam. I went, I did it. It went well. So I started studying. And at least the eye opener for me was I got to learn about a lot of like surrounding stuff, not really like making beer, but all the things that surround beer that really was helpful, like a lot, and really opened my eyes about everything. And maybe I wouldn't like stumble upon it if I didn't start doing this like certified level.
Yeah. So it forces you to kind of stretch out a bit. You know, it's like when I took it, I was also a home brewer. I knew nothing. I had never even poured a beer from a faucet before. So, you know, the service stuff was absolutely new to me.
Yeah, because I mean, I knew about glasses because I mean, I like to drink beer and I could do it proper, but I didn't even know how to clean a glass, like a beer clean glass. Like,
yeah, why would you? Yeah, yeah, I know. It forces you to learn a lot of stuff. It forces us not only to go deeper on the things you already know, but to stretch out a bit. And you actually, you passed the certified exam in 2022, like late 2022, right?
Yeah, so it was late 2022. Like, I remember I went out of the exam. I was like, okay, I think I'm done. It's good. I heard, like, some people talking about the advanced level exam. And I was like, maybe that's not for me. We'll see. And then the same thing happened. Like, just months after, like, I saw my calendar. Well, advanced Cicerone tasting exam. Okay, let's give it a try. And, well, here I am.
Very cool. Very cool, man. So do you know how many advanced level Cicerones are there in Mexico at this point?
So in this like exam cycle, like a friend of mine, Ricardo Castro, he passed advanced Cicerone in November, I think, last year. Mm-hmm. And nice. In this cycle, so it was Ignacio Lomelí, which is a friend of mine, and me, we passed. So. And on 2015, I think there was Alejandro Cortez that passed. So there are now 4 advanced Cicerones in Mexico.
Nice. Congrats.
Thanks. That's and very that cool. That makes us 5 Spanish-speaking advanced Cicerones, because Chema in Costa Rica is as well. So.
Right. Well, and we have let's see, we have several more coming out of our program in the next, in the next year. I won't name names because I don't want anyone to start hitting them up, asking them about whether they passed or not. But yeah, that's cool, man. That's very cool. Yeah, like, so you actually did some professional brewing back in the day as well?
Yeah, so I was a home brewer in 2016, started there, and on 2017, I started as a professional brewer with a friend of mine in Caminati Brewing. I was there for like almost a year. I just wanted to learn more, so I got a lot of hands-on. Then I left a little bit the industry just to work as an engineer, and a couple mm-hmm. months in working in construction, I got a call from a friend of mine to work at a... They were actually doing like this big production brewery here in Tijuana, which was a joint thing with Baja Brewing and Cervecería Ramuri. And I went there as a professional brewer, stayed there for almost 2 years. I was there as a professional brewer, and also I did a lot of like maintenance stuff. I was there for, well, basically 3 years as a professional brewer. Then I left the industry again, started teaching a little bit. I'm a son of teachers. Like, my whole family's, they're teachers, so just came to be. And then I got a call and from other people, like just networking, whatever. And now I'm the operations manager at Baja Canning, which is a mobile canning company. Almost 2 million cans now, so.
2 million cans? Dang.
Almost.
Baja Canning. Very cool. So now you're the operations manager at Baja Brewing or Baja Canning. And, I just want to mention, like, in our cohorts in the Advanced Cicerone Coaching Program, we have, like, so many cool people with so many different backgrounds and, like, high levels of knowledge on all these different things. Like, you're a pro brewer or have been a pro brewer. We had another guy in your cohort who was, like, a draft tech. And just the list kind of goes on. We have someone who like owns a bottle shop and you know what I mean? Just all these different, perspectives on beer, different, areas of the industry. And I think that, I don't know, hopefully you saw, I thought it seemed like the coming together of a lot of knowledge and, you know, folks were able to kind of help each other when we would do our lessons or our tastings together. You know, sometimes people had really insightful stuff to throw out there.
Yeah, I mean, it was really helpful because for me, it was just like a melting pot of knowledge, of beer knowledge. And it was really fun for everyone involved. And I mean, like, I had the opportunity to meet, like, some people from the cohorts. And it's always enthusiastic just to go and just hug them and just talk about beer because that's all we do, I mean, basically.
that's another cool thing is that, like, study group vibe, right? Everyone's, like, getting together in the real world now and stuff. And that's just so cool. I also want to congratulate Scott. I mean, Scott really put together this program and teaches everybody. And I mean, you're the first of, I think, many success stories, Jesus, but, Scott definitely. Thanks, man.
Well, and obviously as somebody who put together the program, I think I, you know, one thing I really want to know, well, a couple of things. First, what did you find to be the most valuable resource that we provided? What would you say, like, looking back, because we offer a lot of things. There's the cohort part we talked about where you're just meeting people. That's already a huge thing. We have study schedules. We have all kinds of different videos. We've got flashcards. We've got practice exams. Of all of those things, if you had to pick one that you thought was the most valuable to you personally, what would you say it was?
So I mean, for me, I think like basically like the practice exams and like basically the one-on-ones, like the time I have with other professionals that can talk about, like, you know your stuff, and I know you know your stuff, and I'm glad to just come and basically ask whatever I think I need, and you can just basically steer me to the way that it needs to be for the exam, and not just the exam, just basically for beer knowledge. I mean, it's not the same knowing than just really knowing how to like translate that into words, because it's really hard. At least for me, it was really hard. So mm-hmm. really just like the calmness of just going into exam, knowing what to expect, and then like not thinking it was a fluke, like, oh, maybe if I get asked about this, like, no, like, you basically have to know everything about it to do it. for me was like really, really helpful. Like just like the enthusiasm and the like the well, English is my second language, so it's coming now.
That's got to make it extra challenging.
And then the other thing too is, do you remember when you filled out your application what you said you were the most worried about going into the exam? Because that's one question we ask folks, because if there's something weird we haven't thought of, we want to make sure, you know, we actually think of. But because I've got your scores in front of me, and so I want to see what you thought you were the most worried about, and then what you got ended up getting on that section of the exam.
So, I mean, for me, it was a beer and food pairing, because I think every level you go up in the certification program, just basically it steps up like exponentially, at least for me, I think. Like I think the gap that is between a certified Brewserver and a certified Cicerone, it's almost the same, basically the same between a certified Cicerone and an advanced Cicerone, at least on knowledge. And I mean, for me, I didn't have much experience in that, and I think the cohort, the AC coaching exam, really is like structured a way so that you get to experience more and hands-on and really start like just losing your fear and going into that. Because I knew styles will be like time like demanding, but I knew it was just I need to sit and study for hours each day maybe. But those things like I wouldn't know how a wheat beer behaves if I boil it for 2 hours. I don't know.
Well, for well, between your MCQs and your essays, you got an average of somewhere in like the between 85 and 86 range for pairing.
Killed it.
Yeah, thanks. And at least for me, I think it's really helpful because I remember I did like my essays on that, and they weren't really great. And I mean, Scott saw them and he graded them, and he made like a lot of like good like notes on them, and then it really helped me on the exam too. So
Awesome.
That's awesome.
I'm trying to remember. Didn't you spend like a ridiculous amount of time with the flashcards too?
Yeah, he
I
was
think
over.
so.
Yeah, he was, because for people who don't know, we use Brainscape, so we don't use Quizlet. We use this really cool app that's like developed by people who are like scientists and like know about how people learn the best, and they put that to use in their app. And Chris and I can tell, as admins, we can tell how many hours people have spent. And you know, Jesus was one of those people where like eventually it stops tracking it in hours and it starts interpreting it into days. You know, because it just adds up. And then and so Jesus was one of those people who I think, you know, you look at it and it says like a week or 10 days or whatever, and you're like, that doesn't seem that long, but it's like not like an 8 hour day like we spend studying, but like 24 hours. So that's like a lot of hours. So it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you think about it in that way, it's like that's actually a lot of time studying flashcards.
Yeah, I haven't looked at it super recently, but I think last time I just did a check to see, like, I don't know, out of curiosity, like who was really using the flashcards the most. I think it said that you had done like 4 full days worth or something. So a lot of hours, but you know, if you make it a habit and you're only do I mean you only need to do 20 minutes a day for 6 months or who knows, whatever it is. I'm not doing the math in my head, but you know, it's if you turn it into a habit, that's what ends up happening. And I'm sure you knew the vital stats for everything.
I mean, it's always a fun party trick if you say like, I remember that I don't know, the ABV of a very strong ale is 5.528. I don't know,
Right.
it works. But yeah, I mean, for me, it was a habit because in my machine, like the sanitation process takes 20 minutes. So I knew I had 20 minutes each day to at least do that. So that's what I did. Then I think it worked out.
I love that. I always, you know, kind of like semi-jokingly, I'm just like, you know, do them when you're on the toilet, like whatever it takes, whatever it takes. You know, make it a habit. If you commute by subway, do it on the subway, like whatever. So that's cool. Yeah. The results speak for themselves. We can definitely see that folks who spend a lot of time with the flashcards tend to be doing real well. So yeah, what's the thoughts on, well, Scott, do you have any more questions before we move on?
No, just had those two.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I you know, On the one hand, of course, I would love to just talk all about the Advanced Testosterone Coaching Program. I want people to know, like, this thing is successful. We're finally starting to see some results. Jesus is the first, and you killed it. We have a bunch of other people signed up for exams, and their scores will be coming in. I'm certainly going to invite them all to do this, you know, do an interview with Scott and I. Because, you know, I think that folks, especially once you get past the certified level, people are like curious about why, you know, what's the benefit going to be? How's it going to help them? Obviously, there are plenty of people out there who just love to learn and just want to do it for themselves. But I think everyone in the industry kind of recognizes like what certified testosterone means. Like a manager knows what you're capable of, but you show up with advanced or even master, whatever, on your resume, you probably have some ideas about how you want to apply that, maybe in an entrepreneurial manner, or maybe you're going to try and carve out a special position for yourself at some larger brewery or something like that. But that's the thing, is I actually just want to sit down with folks and ask them, like, what's the plan? So what are you thinking?
I mean, so at least for me, the certification has, like, for me personally, it's been giving me a lot of opportunities to get to know the world. So I'm a beer judge, and, like, basically, like, your resume speaks for, like, there's a lot of people in the world that don't know you. Like, I have a lot of friends, but still, like, they don't know me. And then you send in their resume, and they say, like, certified Cicerone started opening doors for me. And then advanced Cicerone, like, I have more invites coming. So I've been to, like, basically Central America and South America just judging beers 1 week at a time. So, I mean, it's tough. It's a tough job that I have to do, but someone has to do it, right?
That's right. I mean,
someone has to travel to beautiful places and judge beer.
That's right.
Yeah, so with some really great people that I can call friends now. Like, so I've been to Ecuador, Bolivia, Colombia. I have pending invites for Peru and Costa Rica. So I'm getting to know the world one country at a time.
Nice.
That's really cool, man. That's really cool. And you're obviously going to end up networking with all these industry people and creating opportunities for yourself. And yeah, I mean, that's rad. That's rad.
I mean,
I need to start coming down some of those.
I mean, that's the thing that, like, a lot of people, at least, like, the beer industry is so small. Like, you just don't see, like, jobs posted in some place. Like, most of them, they don't post them. So, like, it's just the people you know. So, like, at least, I mean, anyone can go to the Cicerone Certification Program directory and just type in your name and see if you're certified or not. Like,
right. Yeah, and I think, you know, it's such a good point that these certifications, I was just talking with Aaron Gore, who is an advanced Cicerone who lives in South Carolina, pretty active on social media and stuff. And he was pointing out that, you know, obviously a big issue in beer right now is representation and diversity and job access and this kind of stuff. And I think he made a great point that these kind of certifications, you know, it may not seem fair, but it will help people kick the doors open and smash glass ceilings and kind of, you know, it is something that on a resume kind of speaks for itself and is going to help, you know, anybody get a great job. And so I think, you know, you don't generally have, you're not going to have people just reaching out to you to ask you to judge international beer competitions unless you're doing stuff like that, you know, unless you're building those sensory skills and, you know, putting yourself out there, continuing your education. I think that's just an important point to make. Yeah,
I mean, even among peers, like, if you, like, get to know, like, new people in your life and he's, like, in certified level, like, you know, like, he puts his time in and he knows, like, his stuff for beer, at least. So.
Yep. Yeah, and you know, like, your point about just sort of networking your way into jobs, you know, that is not just how the beer industry works, it's how every industry works. So, you know, just showing up and mixing it up with folks, like, at these kind of competitions can be huge for that. So that's exciting. Yeah. Do you have any, like, grand plans, or are you just kind of sticking with what you got going on for now and seeing where career takes you?
So in this January, I actually started my master's in brewing and distilling in Scotland. So
nice.
Nice.
Just trying to be more professional one thing at a time.
That's amazing. And Tijuana has like a killer scene, right?
I mean, Tijuana, all of Baja California, which is basically like the region, all of Baja. Tijuana, Ensenada, Mexicali, it's a great beer scene. And there's a lot of cool places. And basically, there's a lot of good food and a lot of good beer. So we also have Wine Valley down here, like Valle Guadalupe. So there's a lot of stuff. And I mean, you need a professional to run it all, I guess. So
yeah, killer. Killer.
Nice.
Well, Scott's a lot closer to you, but I would love to come down there and get some beers with you sometime. That's for damn sure.
Nice. I mean, we have Charles Porter from Little Beast Brewing has been coming down here, and he's a great guy. He's from Bend, I think. I don't know.
Oh, okay. Right. That's cool. Okay. He's here in Portland, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Okay. I'll ping him. I actually judged with him at GABF. I think like 2 years ago. So I haven't seen him since, but, it's been on my like to-do list to try and link up with him. So
I just sent my application today actually for GABF. So
nice.
Maybe in a couple of years. I don't know.
Killer. Oh, that's great. That's very cool.
Mine's in too. I hope we can just start the same time. That'd be cool. Then we can just all hang out at GABF.
I think things have changed, but yeah, it took me like, I don't know, six or something years to get the call. I think things have been shuffled up a lot.
I was going to say, there's all these rumors about like they're trying to up the number of what they're cycling through, but I don't know if anybody really knows what they're... I think only they know what they're doing. That's about it.
Yeah, I mean, I understand their desire to not share that information. It's not like everyone would be like, oh, you're doing a great job. That's wonderful.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
That's just inevitably not how that would go. It is really fun and awesome. So, yeah, hopefully I still am getting the invite by the time you all both get your invites, and then we can all hang out in Colorado together.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
It is quite a scene. It is quite a scene. All right. Scott, you got any last questions or comments?
No more questions. I mean, Jesus was a great – he was somebody who we were just right out of the gate. We knew he was going to be – successful. You can just tell the people who are using the material, the people who are showing up to lots of the meetups, and those are the kinds of people who are going to be doing super duper well, and people who are not only doing most of the work but also have experience too, like, and are still doing the work because of it. Like, there are people who definitely are, I think, a little disappointed that maybe some of their experience they had isn't supplementing as much of the studying, and then they realize they actually have to study. Because that's, you know, one thing we really try and tell folks is, like, this is to help you so that when you actually study, like, you are going to then execute with all of that knowledge correctly, not that you don't have to study if you do the program. That's definitely not what we want you coming into the program thinking. We need people who are willing to put in, you know, the time to do that kind of stuff, because those are going to be the success stories like Jesus.
For sure, yeah. And, you know, I guess I'd be remiss not to, I think, well, we kind of went over this when I interviewed Scott for this podcast, but, you know, there's no reason not to, do a 1 minute breakdown of what the program's all about. Right. So you, if you're interested, you should reach out to Scott or I anytime. The cohorts, we start a new cohort like every 6 months or so. And there are several months of like pre-boot camp prep. Reading to do. So hit us up like ASAP so we can get you started. And then we do 3 months of weekly boot camp lessons where we teach about the different area, you know, the different areas on the syllabus of knowledge, and also how to approach each section of the exam. So, you know, like you kind of mentioned, Jesus, one of the things I think that we provide that is most valuable is just like total understanding of what the test is going to be like and how to answer all the questions. Like, we, you know, the amount of knowledge that you need to have is more than we can teach you. So, you know, it's obviously on students to learn a lot of the stuff, and we're totally here to help you. We've got your study schedule, yada, yada, yada. But really, we're a lot of what we're teaching is how to approach the test. And then the next 3 months, we do a weekly tasting where we break a beer down. Everyone brings the same beer. We break it down together. We inevitably end up going on all these tangents about, like, the ingredients the beer is made with or the techniques that it's made with. You know, you want to know all about decoction? Let's talk about decoction, you know, stuff like that. And then we also do some practice, full practice exams with folks. We grade one of them. You know, if anybody wants to do their, practice oral exams, one-on-ones, we do that, all that kind of stuff. So we're with folks until they pass. You know, there's like 6 months of structured stuff, 6 months of weekly lessons. And then, you know, we're all in this community together online, and people can ask anything, and we're always available for folks. And we just stick with them until they get the job done. So that's kind of the elevator pitch. I guess the actual pitch would be this. Pass on your first try. Do, you know, prep for this exam with us, learn how to beat it, and then go beat it on your first try. That's the pitch. This is the easiest possible way that you can become an advanced Cicerone. And I have personally witnessed AC Scott Fielder whip many, many a certified Cicerone into shape for the advanced exam. Jesus, you are the first. You'll always be our first. We'll never forget you.
Yep.
And we're just super excited for you, and we know we'll be seeing you all around on the scene, probably be judging with you, and we're excited to see where your career goes. And you're still in the community with us, so hopefully you'll pop in. Feel free to come hang out and taste beers with us anytime.
At least it's time for fun, right? Not just like technical scriptures.
That's right.
That's right. Oh my God. The sigh of relief after you get those scores.
At least I was talking with my wife, and I was like, I'm so glad this is over. I mean, I'm glad I get to know like all this stuff and I get to study, but I'm so glad it's over, at least for a couple months. But
yeah, right. And that leads inevitably to the next question, which is
everybody has to ask themselves. Yeah.
Everyone's, I mean, I have a master's right now going on, but
that's right. Yeah.
We'll see.
That's a different one. I mean,
at least for me, I think it's really important to also note the barriers there are for the certification. I mean, Spanish-speaking advanced Cicerones were only 5 in the world, and it gets pretty hard. I mean, at least for me, I took the exam because I can cross to San Diego because it's basically 5 minutes away. Mm. But I know a lot of people that can't. So maybe now that we have more Spanish-speaking advanced Cicerones, maybe we can start having all Spanish exams and things like that. Maybe in Latin America, I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll see, but hopefully the barrier breaks down.
Well, and I think that goes also beyond just it being an exam that's in Spanish, but that also represents beer communities like yours. You know, if there are really good classic examples, you know, in the area that you're in, you all, if you start proctoring exam, you should be able to use those, you know, as classic examples. It shouldn't just be a U.S. focused or, you know, import focused exam, especially when it comes to the tasting exam, or if people are going to write about beers on, you know, their essays or what have you, it expands to that too, because that's obviously one thing we've noticed in our, you know, in our tastings is that, you know, we encourage people to buy the same beers that we're getting, but, you know, distribution's a thing, and even people in the United States, sometimes we can't get the same beers, as Chris and I are getting, or, you know, whatever, so we just ask them to get, you know, a local example. But it's still a good example. Like, that's the thing we have to remember, right? Like, the BJCP is a good set of guidelines that we use, but it's not just the end all be all for good examples of beer. And so I hope it also does that, as well.
Yeah. That's a real challenge for everybody involved in this kind of stuff. You know, I'm in Portland, Oregon, an famously great beer town. And Scott is down there in SoCal, just surrounded by one of the best, the world's greatest beer scenes, and we struggle to get some of this stuff, so it's kind of frustrating. Well, Jesus, thanks so much for hanging out.
Yeah, this was fun.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I am one of the things that I've been thinking is that the beer world doesn't need any more like 2-3 hour long drunken long form podcasts. So we're keeping these tight. We really appreciate you being here, and we wish you the best as you go forward in your career.
And we'll see you soon.
Thanks for being our first. We'll see you soon.
Yeah, thank you. Hopefully we'll see you soon. Yeah. Let's have some beers.